Coming to you live from St. Louis, Missouri.
It's the Faster Freedom Show.
With your hosts, Sam Prim and Lucas Wolf.
We're talking about freedom.
So there's three types of OP, other people's skills or whatever to be used. I guess that's one of them. But in my opinion, what we utilize on a daily basis is OPS, other people's skills. We have team members and people that we utilize their skill set because we don't have them. As business owners, we all do. And there's OPM, other people's money. Utilize other people's money to buy things that you can't afford. And then use what you bought to pay them back. And then you OPS, or OPK, other people's knowledge. So I think the first one to start with is probably OPK, if I were going to put them in order, learning some skills from other people. What would you say to that? Like, if you're going to start with one, you got to get the knowledge to build the confidence to take the action, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree. And there's so many different ways to do that and acquire that knowledge from other people. Gosh, so many different ways. And you got to choose carefully of whose knowledge you're consuming, too. People have, you know, been successful in the past. They've already done it. They've been rich. They got wealthy. They've created a life that a lot of people could only dream of. And we don't have to reinvent the wheel completely. We can add our own flair on it as individuals, but there's a proven path to wealth and freedom, and that's a path that we're following, but adding our own flair along the way.
Yeah, anybody watching, we're on Facebook, we're on YouTube, we're on X. Let us know where you're from. Fill up the chat box with questions. We will answer them as we go. I see Cameron on there, so thank you for that comment, and Morgan and everybody. So keep commenting. We appreciate that very much. So I think I boil it down, and we're all saying the same kind of thing, so we'll make sure to move this conversation going forward. But if you want to get somewhere quickly and efficiently with minimal resistance, the best way to do that is following somebody else's grooved path. It's really that simple. If you want to, like I liken it, if you want to go out and golf and you're not any guidance, no coaching, no guidance, just go out there and whack the ball around, or you practice, you learn from other people, you have a caddy that shows you what to do, you have a swing coach, like you're going to be better with learning from other people's knowledge that they have gotten over time. So it's really any skill you want to learn, from sports to athletics to business to real estate, learning from somebody else's proven path. They made the mistakes, avoid those. They made some wins, double down on those. It's just the way that I don't know that there's another really way to efficiently get to where you want to go.
I think OPK is a time machine.
Okay.
You know, in the respect of, like,
is it a hot tub?
It's pretty much a hot tub time machine.
What if there's, we did all this in a hot tub together? All
we
of us.
Oh, we could time do that. Travel.
Yeah,
he's got one.
Travel,
he's sure. Got one too.
He's got one.
But what do we do with the
pool?
What do we do with the microphones? Aren't you not supposed to have electricity around water?
Yeah, this is low voltage.
Yeah, we just hang these right over the edge.
Or just hang it from the top so there's no way.
Yeah, like a spoon mic.
But what if it falls in?
Well, like, then we die.
Like Bruce Buffer.
Do you for sure die? Okay,
no. Dusty. Not goes. With this juice.
Okay. You don't for sure die, but would it shock you or not?
Not this juice. This is low voltage.
Give me a little tingle.
So you just need, well, what's a hair dryer? Is hair dryers high voltage?
Yeah, but the hair dryer's got a sensor in it to kick off.
What about a toaster?
That'd be. But the toaster's higher voltage than this?
Yeah. The cord's not long enough.
Okay, all right, keep going.
So the OPK, I look at it as a time travel. I mean, or not time travel, I'm able to what the
time
hell
machine. Skip it's a ahead.
Time machine. It's a time machine. And the fact that I can take other people's knowledge package and then study it and then move faster through whatever I'm trying to learn.
Yeah,
I think.
And there's different stages too. There's like certain baseline of knowledge that you need to go from 0 to 3.
Sure.
And then you gotta, you know, consume other knowledge and different knowledge to go from 3 to 6, and then from 6 to 8, then, you know, 8 to 10. It's, you gotta keep upping your knowledge game. Mm-hmm. And as we do well, I think, and you know, figure out what's right for you. I think, like, with other people's knowledge, it can be so much at one time sometimes. So understand, take pieces of it. You don't have to implement exactly what someone's doing, but take pieces of it and figure out what's right for your life and your business.
Yeah. And I think too, is like, you bring up this all the time as far as knowledge goes, and a lot of people want to go right straight to the multifamily space, and they don't even have one door, and Lucas is, you know, his take on is like, just start with one door first, yeah, and then build on top
get
of that
you,
knowledge.
Get your feet wet get your before feet you wet. Jump into
yeah.
something.
So that's, yeah, build that foundation.
Just part of the knowledge piece. Yeah.
So there's Dusty's head, and then Dusty's head. There's Kayola's head and Kayola's head. That's pretty funny.
Ours too, but we're
yeah, you're flip flops.
Yeah, I can't see two of us. Yeah. So I think if you're wanting to do something substantial, it's hard enough to do on your own, even with knowledge, even with somebody else's skill set, even with somebody else's like grooved path, it's still really hard to do. So I just think having other people's knowledge just, you know, breeds confidence, and then confidence breeds action, and actions lead to results. So it's really tough to go into something completely blind and be able to do it without any guidance. It's tough with guidance. So I think OPKs gives you speed, gives you traction, and gives you a lack of mistakes, I think, are some of the biggest things.
Limited mistakes.
Yeah, because you're still going to make mistakes, but they're not as discouraging when you see somebody else make them and push through, and then they're not as discouraging when they're smaller.
Yeah, and then if you're learning from somebody that's very transparent, when they make that mistake, they're going to be open knowledge about it. Like, hey, this is how I did it. Here's how I screwed it up. Here's what I would do differently next time. Mm-hmm. That's a huge thing.
Yeah, I think one of the things too is that you have to have the willingness to learn first, you know, and then the next step is understanding what you're learning, which then treks into the knowledge part.
The application is where a lot of people get hung.
Yeah, learning is a skill.
Right.
To learn how to learn
is
a skill.
Especially as an adult.
Yeah, you're right. Like, a lot of people think like learning stops when you're adult, but really that's when it starts.
Yeah, I'd say it does.
When we're talking about these type of skills and just being able to put your pride aside and seeing someone who's successful instead of saying, be like, oh, F that rich guy or something, be like, curious, like how did he get that way, and what knowledge did he use to be successful, and how can I jump on that train?
Yeah.
I think that's a big thing I was going to get to, is that the part of it is being able to set your ego aside and realize that you don't know it all, because I know every single person here has spent a lot of money to gain other people's knowledge. Yeah. You got in with us really quickly before we even had a program. You got in with a mastermind that helped you a little bit, but then you also kind of outgrew it, and it wasn't the exact match, but still was worth it, and we spend, you know, $100,000 a year to learn other people's knowledge. So it's not always going to be perfect, but at least you're willing. Anybody that's willing to pay for help, I feel like other people's knowledge, or even for free, they're so much farther ahead. Even if it's not the perfect fit, at least they're willing to do it, and they got over that ego side of it that I'm going to do it on my own, and people are only out to screw me over. So I think that's a big
part
of it.
That acronym ABLE, right? Always be learning every day. Mm-hmm. You know, so
yeah. So when you guys think of like other people's knowledge and being able to extract that from individuals, what type of forms do you see that happening in? Like, is it a paid coaching program? Is it just sitting on YouTube all day? Or what does that look like to you, Dusty and Kayola?
Go ahead.
Yeah, for me, it's I'll jump in a second. For me, it's I'm an all-in kind of guy. So, you know, I gotta have my hands in it, muddy, dirty. I gotta get in it. So that's just me. I'm an action taker, and then I figure it out afterwards. That's just kind of how I learn. I've always done that way. Although when I'm first getting started and I'm just learning something new, I want to at least learn some of the language pertaining to that. You know, like when I first got started with you guys, it was like learning the language of real estate. What does ARV mean? What is LTV, LTC, all the acronyms, right? That
talk the talk.
Part of the language. Yeah. You got to learn a little bit of that, and then crush.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a combination learner. I learn differently than most, which is totally fine
with
me. You're
different than most.
I'm different than most. I heard that my entire life.
Different than all.
Yeah.
different than everyone.
But I can do in-person learning, like in a mastermind group. I could do social distance learning, you know, whether it be YouTube, Instagram, social media, whatnot. But then I can also go back and, you know, get into a book or a paper or a research study and get details of the pieces of the puzzle that I'm missing to learn. I learn new stuff every day, and I try to. And, you know, that's just kind of how I've always operated. If I'm passionate about it, I'm going to go full steam ahead and absorb any and all content I can at any point in the day that I have the availability for that content to be ingested.
Yeah. I think Kayola made a really good point I want to piggyback on real quickly, is just getting that baseline level of knowledge. And I kind of said it earlier, builds that confidence, but like just understanding simple things. So when you're involved in, I always use the analogy for our students. So when you're involved in like going to meetups and you're having conversations with people, if you can just have a baseline level of knowledge, what's the difference between an assignment and a double close? What does ARV mean? What is repair cost? Like what does the max allowable offer formula? So all these simple, like elementary things, learn them online for free. And then when you are entering these rooms to talk to these people, you're able to absorb the information. If somebody's speaking things that you understand, you absorb it more than trying to figure out what they're saying. So I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah, I think that's a great place to start, right? And then it goes to that next level after that, whether it's a mentor, a paid coach, a paid mastermind, but you're gonna, you know, if it's a mentor, you know, I would just be cognizant of like their time and just sucking them completely dry. Yeah. You have to provide some sort of value back, whether that's a payment to a coaching program or a mastermind, or helping reciprocate some sort of value with a relationship that you can connect them with, or I don't know, taking their car to get an oil change or little stuff like that, taking them out to coffee. So just make sure you're not sucking everything dry without giving any value back.
Yeah, I've always heard that, you know, your mentor chooses you, and you choose your coach, right? So, you know, typically it comes from like, a place where you're just wanting to learn the basics, the language, coaching, all that, and then your mentor will decide if they want to work with you, and they'll pick and choose who they work with. That's just because they don't have, you know, when you get to the mentor stage, you don't really have limited amount of time and resources, right? Your time is your most valuable commodity, hopefully commodity, it's finite, right? And I know that you guys are already breaking it down into like 10-15 minute segments. Like, that's amazing, you know. So I'm probably about an hour of segment time, but I'm understanding the value of your both of your time, and I think that's something to be cognizant of, just like you said, Lucas.
Yeah,
just be very aware of what their time.
What about you, Walls? What is your best way to take in OPK?
Yeah, and I think we talk about this, or we have in the past, the type of knowledge that you're consuming, kind of you need to pair that with the medium that you consume it through. Like, for example, like specific real estate strategies, books are very challenging for that because it just changes so fast. Like MTRs come up, STRs come up, you know, syndications, property management has changed so much in the past 10 years. So it's hard to go back and read a book that's 5 years ago and have it be applicable to today when it comes to strategies. But there are certain things that books and things that are kind of stamped in time that stand the test of time, like leadership and money principles and mindset, stuff like that. I would think books are a great place to consume that knowledge.
Yeah, so we that's what we do. So we get our like business acumen type knowledge from books, from authors that, you know, Jim Collins and Gino Wickman and Gary Keller, all those type of people. But then our up-to-date information is, you know, it's a lot easier to make a YouTube or a podcast basically on what happened yesterday. You can't write a book on what happened yesterday and get it out. So
yeah, so a lot of good knowledge on social media out there about certain strategies is probably surface level, and then you can get into those coaching or masterminds programs where people are doing that same strategy at a high level.
I mean, that's what we have. We have our social media. We do is the best we can in 30 seconds, 45 seconds, and then obviously you want more. We have this podcast, YouTube, all that stuff, and then we do have the coaching. So there's a path to walk down if you're committed. But Dusty, can you talk a little bit about how useless it is to get other people's knowledge and not implement it? I feel like implementation, that's where you learn, that's where things really kind of hit.
You can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you can't, and my previous life was as in public service as a paramedic, and I would tell anybody that ever came into my back of my ambulance as a student, I can teach you all the information in the world, but if you don't have the willingness to learn how to apply it, you're going to struggle. So the second that you figure out where it becomes knowledge to application, that's a huge gap to bridge. When you bridge that, light bulbs start turning on and your path accelerates greatly.
Yeah, I feel like that's when you learn.
And I think getting the knowledge to be able to overcome that fear to take action is part of getting the knowledge. Yep. is knowledge in its own right, to have that confidence and mindset to push through that fear and uncertainty when you know it's probably the right thing to do.
Yeah, and I think learning going into understanding too, like that there's a much bigger picture that'll lead to the knowledge. The understanding, you can sit there and try to learn as much as you can about things, but if you don't have an understanding and an application point, like Dusty said, understanding really puts it all together.
Yeah,
right. Real world and
book smart. and street smart. You got to be that combination of both.
And understanding both, ends of it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we always say that I think that people learn like 15-20% from like watching and sitting on the sidelines, but you literally cannot learn it all without actually doing it. So knowledge is not useless, it's helpful, but taking action is when you learn. I always say we have the best coaching program in the country, and I don't know that it's that close, but we can only teach them 25-30% through videos, through resources, through connections. They have to go actually do it. You're only going to learn, especially in real estate, the nuances of this, because every deal is different, every rehab is different, every exit strategy is different, every single deal is different. We're not, it's not an assembly line. So you're only going to learn by actually doing, especially in real estate.
Yeah, I think having that outlet to express your knowledge and taking action is important, because taking action, say buying and rehabbing your first rental property, your first deal, that's one thing, but the different roadblocks that you're going to come across in that one deal, you're going to need to go and get knowledge multiple times throughout that process. If it's your first deal, like, okay, I got the knowledge to go buy it.
Right.
All right, now what? You know, line up the money, line up the contractors, rehab this thing. You know, there's so many different points of a project where you got to go back out and get the knowledge so you can keep pushing forward.
Yeah, and I think Sam brought up a really good point too, is that the confidence that you come, that happens when you go from the knowledge to the action, back to the knowledge to the action, it builds up that confidence, and then your training wheels start to fall off, you know, and you can ride the bike on your own, and it's always good to come back.
Run, Forrest, run.
Yeah.
Your braces break off and you just go.
Yeah, sometimes you got to put the training.
Yeah, he was fast.
Yeah, I didn't think that, like, when I watched that movie as a kid, I was like, holy cow, but they definitely speed that up.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't, the kid, I thought was, he was just,
thought he ran fast enough to break his braces.
Well, that legs. Might be possible, Dusty. You don't know. But they, like, sped it up so his legs were like...
T.Y., what year was that movie out? 94?
Lucas, you were, like, 17 or 18 probably?
No,
You were... Yes,
It's in the mid-90s.
You're old,
Dusty. Yeah, like 94, right?
Yeah, we're old over here.
Dusty and Kale like are both old. So what would... and I honestly, I want all three of your opinions on this. So... Forrest Gump, 1994. So, yeah, that makes sense.
I guess trivia.
Lucas, you were like 8 when it came out, 9. You thought
on that
this.
Trivia.
Six. 11.
Six. Well, I mean, well, did you Caleb watch it right 13. When it came out?
Yeah, take it easy.
Opening
theaters.
Day, you were there.
Yeah,
my point
I
is
remember
you,
this.
When you thought that, you were probably 7 or 8 or 9. It makes sense you thought.
Yeah, Werenberg Theaters.
Oh,
Werenberg.
Boy.
Werenberg.
So the training wheels do fall off.
The braces do fall off.
The braces do fall off when you gain that confidence, right?
So yeah. Forrest never stopped learning. I was like a box of chocolates. Never know what
Lieutenant
you're going to get.
Dan.
Yeah.
Yes. Did you think he didn't have legs too, or did you know that was... Did you think the actor cut off his legs? Is that what you
something
thought?
Happened to that actor in real life where he like lost it recently?
I don't know.
I mean, he looked
Lieutenant
like
Diane.
So did you think he had legs or not?
I don't know.
No, well, you thought, Forrest Gump was like the fastest guy ever.
I did for a long time.
So it's,
did you think like that Usain Bolt?
Did you think that Forrest was really standing on with the who's the president he was standing next to?
Yeah, Lucas thought Nixon and
Nixon,
Carter,
Nixon.
I think, too.
Yeah. I really thought he was he figured out Watergate too.
I thought it was all true. I love that movie.
Yeah, it's a really good movie.
I heard that Travolta like turned that role down.
Thank goodness.
He'd have been terrible in that.
Well,
role.
I mean, he would have
back in the day.
He would have he would have a different spin on it. It would have been a good movie, so but not. That's one of those things.
He wouldn't have been as fast.
No, he would not have been. John Travolta's not as fast
as Tom Hanks.
As Sully. All right, so
Sully.
Let's get your initial. Yeah, what's your favorite Tom Hanks movie? Throw it in the chat box.
Turner and Hooch.
Turner and Hooch. Oh gosh.
Turner and Hooch.
Come back to me.
Castaway, I love that movie.
Castaway's a good one.
Yeah.
Turner and Hooch, that doesn't count.
What? So Tom Hanks, that's a classic.
Gosh, I'm going to go with Castaway, too.
Yes.
Apollo 13.
That's a good one. Settle down,
it's
son.
Okay, it's okay.
I'm going to go
mail.
With... You got mail.
Of course.
Is it Meg Ryan?
Of course.
Shelly. That's a great movie.
That is a good movie.
It's yours. Catch Me If You Can.
I love that. No, I'm just going to go with Forrest Gump. I mean, I don't want to be. Yeah, that's.
Could you watch it 4 times in a row?
Forrest Gump, I could for sure.
Yeah. I could watch Castaway 4 times in a row.
Yeah.
Catch Me If You Can, I could too. I love that movie. I'm a big Leo guy too, though. So Cool. All right. So that was fun. Let's talk about, so most people watching, listening, the recording, listening live, they're newer real estate investors. So they're like, okay, guys, I believe you. OPK is something that I am all about now. You changed my mind. How would you tell somebody that's new to go out and get the proper OPK so they can start to implement? I want to give people implementation steps, not just knowledge. So what would you tell, in any order, I guess, if you're good to start, Walls?
Yeah.
So how would you tell somebody to go out and get the proper OPK?
Yeah, let's start with that baseline. Gosh, man, this could go so many ways.
That's why I think this will have interesting ways. Yeah.
I would probably start, like, you could always start in yourself and elevate yourself and figure out a way to become a better person and a better leader, because the stronger you are, that's how strong your business is going to be, period. So whenever you want to implement that, that's fine. That could be first, and nothing wrong with that. But you can also sprinkle that in as you get real estate knowledge too. So let's put that aside for now. Let's just talk real estate. And I'd go to podcasts, number one.
Okay.
And then some big follows on social media.
Like the Faster Freedom Show podcast?
Faster Freedom Show, Bigger Pockets. I'm sure there's some other great real estate focused podcasts. Whatever your niche is that you want to be, and maybe you even don't know that yet, and trying to figure that out. This is a great platform. But yeah, follow Sam Faster Freedom on social media.
Lucas Faster Freedom now,
dropping some knowledge bombs.
Dropping some bombs. You're so aggressive. I love it. You're like, this is why you should invest in real estate.
Do it now.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I love it.
Do it now. Yeah, speaking of the FTC.
At least you don't squint like I did in my first few videos.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Anyway, I would start real estate-wise, podcasts and social media and some strategic follows there. What about you guys?
Yeah, Dusty?
The podcast, definitely that's a must in my world at this point in my life. And even I wish it had been more of a thing when I started, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago. Then your local meetups. Your local real estate investment groups in your community, because you're going to stumble across people from every walks of life or different walks of life that are excelling in the real estate investing space, and you don't even know it. They're right under your nose every day in all communities. It's going to be there. So I would do the podcast, I would do local meetups, and then I would get into books about leadership and building business structures and things, because that's in my, like when I first started, the business structure thing was, it was me. I was the only person in the business. So the structure was, everything led to me. Now I'm getting to a point where I'm broadening that out to where I have other people to lean on when the proverbial shit hits the fan. I got somebody to call. I'm not the guy to call every step of the way.
I got a guy.
Dusty got a guy.
But I love being that guy. But in my own business,
yeah,
I have to differentiate those pieces, because I can't be your guys' guy, which is I love and excel and love to be, but then I also can't be my own guy at all times and everybody else's too.
And then Shelly's guy.
Right, and Shelly's guy too. So
there's a lot on our shoulders,
boys. Right.
Yeah, right. No, I agree though with that, and then we'll get to you, Kiki. Yeah, there's a lot underneath, like you said, underneath your nose. We have the biggest meetup in St. Louis, one of the bigger ones in the country, I would guess. Most people I talk to are shocked that we get 250 people every, like most are like 50 to 100. I know there's probably bigger ones, but it's a big one. And there's always 30 to 50 new people every month that never even heard of us, and we've been doing it for 7 years, however long we've been doing it. And so there is people underneath your nose you don't even know about. So those meetups are good advice. Yeah. Thank you, Kiki.
You know, for instance, Courtney, one of our office managers upstairs, her neighbor right across the street didn't even know we existed until I got out of my vehicle in a Faster House shirt when we were helping rehab her house initially. He's a fireman, rehabbed 100 houses. Had no idea. He lives miles away from our building. Had no clue.
Yeah. A lot of people like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. AVP, man. Audio, the videos, and then the physical part, which you brought up. That's really, you guys hit it all on
that's
that.
That's probably all you need to take action, I think.
Yeah.
And then once you take action, come into like specific roadblocks, then I think you get into that, you know, mentorship, coaching, mastermind type setting. Yeah.
Searching that specific piece of knowledge that you're missing.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah, and I think regardless whether you're running into roadblocks or wanting to get started, having that other people's knowledge and learning from their mistakes is just going to completely catapult what you're doing.
Yeah, so you mentioned books. Books you had mentioned.
Own Your Freedom.
Own Your Freedom.
Which is a great book. Back there. Own Your Freedom.
Own Your Freedom.
The awesome. One Thing is another good one. Traction's another good one. We've got a bunch of them that we've read in the office even.
Yeah, no, we do that. So we do, we're like, we talk about this, we teach, we have a coaching program, we have 1,600 students, 1,700 students like Lucas mentioned, but we pay money to be in masterminds, everybody pays money, and we do the OPK every day. We have book clubs that we read, and we read a book and discuss it every single week. So we're not just talk about it, we actually do it all day, every day.
For sure.
Yep. Cool, anything else for our peeps on OP Kizzle?
No.
What do you think, like, the high level, like, people do to continue to learn and improve themselves, like an Elon Musk or a Jeff Bezos? What are they doing to try to get as much knowledge as they can to propel their businesses? What do you guys think?
They're probably using, or I don't want to say they're probably utilizing their sphere of influence of their people and company, company structure that they've
board
been
of directors.
Board of directors, etc. To find those finite pieces of the puzzle that you want to, that you're missing, or the gap in your coverages.
Yeah,
that's where you're going to find stuff like that.
And that comes down to environment, right? Mm-hmm. And kind of what we built here, and how much talent,
culture,
we have,
environment,
inner circle.
Inner circle. So sorry.
Yeah, I think Sam did a YouTube short a while back that I sent to all of you probably, and said this literally changed my path of the next year, and it's something we talk about every day about the making your inner circle about with the people that actually fire you up, mm-hmm. not drag you backwards like an anchor.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah, I think with Elon Musk and they leverage OPT like to the other people's time, and through that allows them the time to think, and process things and look at it from maybe a 10,000 foot view of people's thoughts and what they're thinking, and then to put it all together.
Yeah,
I think that's where they really thrive.
I love that. I agree 100%.
So Elon Musk, that's like a pretty extreme example, but I think a lot of higher level business people that like aren't on his level, I think they do the masterminds. They pay. We're not anywhere near his level, but we do. We have business. We have small business, and we are around other small businesses that are at where we are. I know there's like different levels of like. I was just at a mastermind last week in Florida, and Kevin Harrington, who is the original shark on Shark Tank, he's got multiple businesses. I don't know if he's a billionaire, but he's close. He was in on Celsius at the beginning, and he's in a lot of different businesses, and he is involved in high level mastermind. He comes there once a year to talk, but he pays, he said, a lot, I would assume a couple million, to be around other like people. So it's just a numbers game. I always say, Luke's and I, we did this, we were so uncomfortable at Collective Genius, the mastermind we were in at first. Felt like we were dumb, we're the smallest guy in the room, and then we built the way up, and now the upper level of it, and then I could see us in a few years paying more money to be the smallest person in a bigger room. Mm-hmm. So as long as you're willing to get uncomfortable and get around the other people's knowledge at that next level, then I think you'll continue to grow. I feel like very few people that get to that top level, Musk or even close, just stop learning and stop getting around other people that know.
I think Freedom Fest is a great opportunity for people to...
Yeah.
But that plug that
Sorry,
shit.
But
plug
it's
that
really shit. It's the environment that you're gonna be around.
Yeah.
It's the people that are fired up for their futures and things like that. And you have to get around that. You have to get involved in communities like that.
Yeah.
And what if that might be around you or might be virtually?
Yeah. It doesn't have to be an ongoing commitment. It could be a one-off conference or seminar or boot camp in a specific area that you want to dive into.
Yep.
And those. Depending on which one you choose, which is very important, so do your research, it could be tremendously beneficial for you.
Yeah.
It just packs so much knowledge into a short period of time, which that's why I like those.
Yeah.
You may get into a mastermind in the beginning with all your research and knowledge and everything you've background checked it, fact checked it, etc. Get in there and realize that it's not a perfect fit for you. Don't hesitate to take a step back and reevaluate who your mentors are, who your sponsor, or not sponsorship, your mentorship is, because that happened to me in the beginning. It was very quickly into my first mastermind into real estate that I realized I had outkicked my coverage in this group. I had a base of knowledge that quickly excelled past the group. It was built for novices and beginners that had no information at all. It just so happened that it didn't fit for me perfectly, and it was a few months of the program, and I stepped into another mentorship. Just made a lateral move and then accelerated again.
I think you underkicked your coverage, right?
Yeah.
You outkicked your coverage with your wife. You underkicked your coverage with the mastermind. So
True that.
Just making sure we get the analogy.
Yeah, 100%.
And if you have any questions while we're rounding this section out before we move on to the current headlines, throw it in the chat box. But I think Just be willing, like I said earlier, somebody that's willing to try is just so much further ahead than those people that aren't willing to try. So Joe Wolf asks, any books you'd recommend for like a newer investor? Obviously you got the Rich Dad Poor Dad, Think and Grow Rich, yeah. Own Your Freedom, other books?
Extreme Ownership's a great one.
Yep.
What else is
out there? Like I would say the book Think and Grow Rich. It's not Grow Rich and Then Think. It's Learn How to think and Then Grow Rich.
And it's
not just about money.
No, it's not.
It's about fulfillment.
It provides you time.
Yeah, for sure.
But it brings your time back to you.
Yeah. Those are the main ones I would suggest starting with. We've read a ton more that I don't know how applicable Good to Great is or Traction for somebody that's starting out. But I think those ones we named are really good ones.
You know, like mindset books, like the David Goggins books or Jesse Itzler books, you know, about your mind frame and how to get your headspace straight. Then you can learn into another area.
Yep. Shirley said, in a roundabout way, she feels like that was a compliment. Yeah, that's the closest compliment you're going to get. As long as I can down Dusty a little bit and compliment you, Shelley, I'll do that anytime.
And the other thing, too, is like we talk about association and the physical aspect of it is like, you know, there's groups out there like our group with the Fast Her Freedom.
Yep.
There's Invest Her, which is another group that, you know, women can join and things like that. So whatever you feel comfortable in, whatever environment that you feel comfortable in, go and take a chance. Go meet people and connect. Real estate is 100% relationships.
For sure. Like, 'cause if you're not comfortable and have that connection, you're not going to learn and absorb as much as
you're going to be worried about what other people think or what if you're not doing it right. You know, the thing is not to be perfect. Just get involved in the process of thinking differently and getting around different people.
Yeah. I think when we went through the whole COVID craziness and we were like, I know what was going on and we were in some of those CG calls, I think somebody said the new perfect is just done. Just get it done. Nothing's going to be perfect. Just get it done and move on and learn and grow. There's no perfect. The new perfect is done.
You said the whole COVID thing. I thought you said Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan.
I was like, what happened with Hulk Hogan? I don't remember that.
Okay, who was your favorite WWF WWE.
I wasn't into that.
I love Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Of course you did.
And then Goldberg was my favorite. Though. Yeah.
You liked him drinking the beer and doing all that?
Smashing cans. Most of it, he'd just spray in the crowds.
Hulk Hogan was at the family, the mastermind I was at last fall.
So nice.
He was
nice.
There. I didn't talk to him or anything.
Did you get his autograph?
I did not. A lot of people did. I had other stuff to do.
Ripping off his shirt.
He's got another one underneath of it.
What's your favorite wrestler?
I don't know that
I
have one.
I didn't get into
it. Low-key like Sting, too.
I didn't get into wrestling.
Yeah. I remember. He looked like the Crow.
Triple H or The Rock, you know. But those are standard answers.
Rock was fun. People's Elbow.
Ultimate Warrior.
Do you smell?
Whoa, The Rock is cooking.
He should be my favorite, but he's not.
He's not. He's
Ultimate Warrior.
Is there a Hawaiian wrestler?
I would say The Rock is probably the closest.
He is
Samoan, right?
He's Samoan.
How close of an island is that to Hawaii?
Samoa to Hawaii, a few thousand miles.
So it's not even that close.
Yeah, it's just we're Polynesian.
Okay.
That's the only connection.
Gotcha.
I like it. Awesome. Cool. All right. Well, that was fun. So let's get into some current headlines right now. We got some interesting things cooking as always. So United Airlines asked pilots to take unpaid United asked pilots to take unpaid time off, citing Boeing's delayed aircraft. So this whole Boeing thing is affecting a lot of different things, and now it's apparently affecting United Airlines pilots. What do you guys think about that?
I think this is going to have an effect on gas prices.
Kiki, you conspiracy theorist.
Prices, because people are going to be driving more. You know, the pilots are not
supply and demand.
Supply and demand.
Yeah.
I think.
In my little bit of knowledge on it, it sounds like almost like a layoff, of long-term scheduled layoff is what it seems like to me.
For sure.
I think he read that before he got into this.
No, I looked at a couple of them.
That's what it looks like to me, too. And with an opportunity to come back,
like
it's going
to
be
a great answer.
Starting in May through the summer. So, you know, three, four,
peak
5 months.
Travel time to all of a sudden have none of your pilots.
I know, man.
Your least experienced pilots in the air. That sounds safe, too.
Yeah. I don't know much about airlines. I just know they can run a little skinny sometimes, you know, a lot of operating costs and operating planes and stuff like that. So they probably do not have the extra capital to keep these pilots on board and pay them the whole time. If I had to guess, yep. I don't know, but they're going to lose a lot of good pilots because of this, and they're going to go somewhere else.
100%. My cousin's a pilot with Southwest, actually, mm-hmm. and yeah, I'll get his take on it. But yeah, it's interesting. They're going to go somewhere because they don't. I know pilots do really well, but they're not just going to take 6 months off without getting paid. Most of them, at least. So yeah, they're going to 100% lose pilots.
So is the delayed deliveries from the Boeing's aircraft, is that planes that they had in their fleet that they're taking back to repair, or are they adding to the
fleet? I think it's the new plane adds, like the 777 Dreamliner. Is that the new one? The new Boeing MAX,
okay. MAX
that's been
9.
On and off the availability to even fly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's probably part of that ripple.
Yeah, that seems interesting to me to what did they overhire in preparation for this? Or you think they would have enough planes to go around still?
Yeah, planes like stay in service for generations.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? I just know we've had more damn airline talk on these headlines than I ever thought we would, because there's a lot going on. It's headlines. We're not like picking and choosing. We're picking what's being searched out there. And yeah, we talked about airlines quite a bit recently. And yeah, this is another one. Boeing has been in the news for a lot of not really good things. It looks like their CEO just or their chief executive. I don't know if it's technically
there you go,
CEO.
Joe tagging in there.
Just
of the new 737 MAX delays.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He just stepped down.
Joe's with Boeing.
Yep. So they just stepped down. So Boeing's been around a long time. My dad worked for them, for McDonnell's, then Boeing for 40 years. So I'm sure they'll be fine, but they've taken a hit recently.
Yeah, for sure.
So I've always liked Southwest model with just, you know, keeping it simple with the plane model. They have one version of the plane.
Yep.
The pilots can fly those planes, and they're not worrying about different
sizes,
engines and sizes and all these other things, you know. So I like what, you know, Southwest has done with their
yeah
their
for program. Sure they make it easy
yeah make
well
it
they
easy,
were the
yeah.
most for a while they're the most profitable airline ever yeah.
It's predictable.
even being the lower
yep.
costs
yep. predictable
cool. All right, so Luke, you want to do the next one?
Yeah, headline number two, Amazon ditches cashierless checkout system at its grocery stores, but they're not necessarily going back to cashiers. They have this whole other way to take account for what you're buying at the store. Does anybody else, Kiki, you want to talk through about how they're taking account for what you're buying at the store? I think
yeah.
it's wild.
So you can see these little green dots. You can see them in sometimes parking lots. But what they do is they send out a signal to basically your SKU letter,
yeah.
your SKU code on your product. And it just, all they have to do is put it in two or three different places so that it captures that that signal, and they just dial in whatever, and you'll have a little, maybe it'll be on your phone,
yeah.
The total amount due, and they'll just charge your card automatically.
Yeah, pretty yeah. sweet. So yeah. zero cashiers.
Yeah, zero
cashiers. They know what you're taking
yep.
off the shelves.
Yep.
And when you walk out, like you said, you probably could pull up on your phone, boom, okay,
yep.
and move
and
on.
It'll just go through your Amazon Pay or PayPal or whatever
right.
it is. Yeah,
that is pretty slick. I'm mm-hmm. not going to lie.
Yep.
yeah, there. And I know, Dusty, you were talking about it a little bit earlier. Walmart and a couple of these other companies are experimenting with this cashierless type checkout thing, and it's getting interesting.
Yeah, there. Those article I read the other day had actually several of the big box stores trialing a subscription-based product per person to allow you into the cashier-less checkout lanes. So they're going to charge you a fee every month for you to be able to skeet the other checkout lines. But they weren't also going to expand into having more cashiers in the store. So it's kind of almost forcing you down a bottleneck of having to have that subscription model.
Yeah.
I'm not in love with that idea.
Yeah, so it looks like they had a you know, they had their Amazon's campus, and they probably have like a market in their campus, mm-hmm. and they like trialed it there, and then went out to have their own, they have their mm-hmm. own supermarkets
yeah.
now,
yep.
is it?
Yeah.
That's so
well, they bought
cool.
Whole
Fresh
Foods
Market
a few years
yeah.
ago, so I think that was their way to get in the
yeah.
game. Was
so they're like, hey, we have this technology,
strategic.
Let's do this yeah. and implement it. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and also the other thing, too, is like Whole Foods and where they're strategically placed is a totally different demographic than the Walmart
mm-hmm. oh, yeah.
position, right? So like when you're looking at it from the demographic is, I think the household income needs to be about 180,000 average
for Whole Foods
to be in that area.
Well, there's not a Facebook page of people that shop at Whole Foods. There's plenty of Facebook page of people that shop at Walmart.
I mean, there's people at Walmart. Hello, there's
people
the people
at Walmart.
Yeah. That?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. yeah. yeah.
So I think with this, it's, you know, this cashierless, they're not worried about theft. They're trying to perfect the process and
streamline it.
Yeah, and streamline it so then they can scale it.
And theft is a huge issue in the retail business.
Absolutely.
It's I think it's like they lose like 6% of their revenue or something crazy like that.
I wonder what the number is that Walmart, Target lost in that cashierless system in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I read 6%, and I was like, that's a lot big number.
That's a big number in their books.
Yeah. So pretty cool, pretty cool. St. Charles County's getting to Trader Joe's. Did you guys hear that?
Where?
Yeah.
Winslow?
Yeah. I think it is O'Fallon.
Dang it.
I think it's O'Fallon, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I feel like this is just technology is evolving, and they're the different businesses that are trying to be on the cutting edge of that are just experimenting and trying things, and that this is a perfect example of that. I'm sure Amazon will end up getting it right, and these other stores will probably follow suit, would be my guess.
Yeah, I think Walmart is so far behind as far as they have a big ship to turn. So in terms of scale, can they do this at scale? Probably not. They'd probably have to have a smaller brand. They have a Sam's Club, but a smaller version, and start getting into the grocery space again.
Yeah, they got an issue on their messaging and their
everything,
culture,
their whole why. Know,
their
right?
We talked about that.
The cashierless system ain't gonna help them now. They got other bigger
culture
fish to fry.
Is diminished.
Yeah, for sure.
When big companies like that, either take a permanent or a short-term dip, I feel like they're always grasping at something to try and fix it. And sometimes it does. Obviously, big companies turn around, but sometimes they don't.
Most time, probably don't.
If they're far enough down. Okay, cool. Headline number three. This one's for Dusty. This is Dusty's excited. He's not going to jail anymore. So Google to delete billions of browsing records in incognito mode privacy lawsuit settlement. Interesting. So I actually haven't even read this. I probably should have, but my guess is incognito mode has the perception that no one's tracking anything you do. And obviously Google tracks you they don't care what you're doing. They care because then they can sell advertising space and they can sell your information and what you search to the advertisers.
It involves their machine.
Yeah. And then, they're probably saying, we in the fine print somewhere, we said that, we can track them, but I'm sure the court ruled no. Incognito means nobody can track you. So then they can delete it all.
Yeah. The definition of incognito as an adverb is in a way that conceals one's true identity. So if that's what they're calling it, but it's not really doing that.
Yeah.
I can see why they got slapped with the class action lawsuit.
And
it's something that we utilize in business too to kind of see where we rank on like Google searches and stuff like that. So we pull it up every once in a while to there's no cookies in there. You're not, because we're always on our business websites, obviously. So we utilize it for that. So it's been helpful for that. But besides that, I don't think I've ever even pulled it up or messed with it.
I don't have the need for that. But if you were using an incognito mode and didn't think that they knew what you were doing and where you were going, you need to really think about how you're operating.
Well, apparently they're saying now that they're moving.
Oh,
that
this
way
incognito tab is gonna
protect
me.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's not. They know exactly where you're at, what you're doing.
Apparently now, and then this brought Sprout to this, because this happened in 2020. I think it's about the time DuckDuckGo hit the market too. So that's supposed to be more of a secure search engine type. So, I mean, who knows? It's interesting. It's kind of funny, the privacy mode thing, but it looks like they are actually going to make what they said they were and make it 100% private.
Yeah, this lawsuit, like Sam
said, lasts 5 years.
This was filed in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So it I don't know if there's like any monetary settlement.
They denied the monetary parts.
Okay, so they're just going to wipe the data, pretty much, is what they agreed to.
Yep.
But it's been 4 years.
We're just now getting it.
I know. So imagine the mess that this created for 4 years. So the lawsuit extracted admissions from Google employees that characterized the browser's incognito browsing mode as, quote, a confusing mess, quote, effectively a lie, and, quote, a problem of professional ethics and basic honesty. This is coming from Google employees.
Probably, not Google, hopefully. They probably, didn't know their name or whatever. Who knows, I guess. But I wouldn't trust Google to not know. Apparently.
Right, they probably already know who those employees were.
I was going to say, places like behind closed doors.
So it was probably some sort of plan to set this up and still get the information, which is shady as hell.
Yes. I mean, big companies do that kind of stuff all the time.
I Googled the shit.
How do you think that affects a company's culture with things like this?
A company Google's so big, my goodness. There's probably so many subsets of culture within the.
And how many lawsuits do you think they've been slapped with over the past 5-10 years?
Thousands. They probably have a 100-person legal team or more. Yeah, probably so just more. All the
hopefully
time.
It stays away from most of the actual people a lot of time, and it sticks with the legal team. But, you know, I can see how that could wear on you over time, no doubt.
Yeah.
Yep. For sure. Cool. All right. So let's get into some over-under game. This is a fun newer game we're going to play, and then we're going to get into the deal of the week. This is about a property bought that got vandalized pretty aggressively. I don't know much about it. Dusty and Lucas, maybe even Carolyn knows more than I do.
Mm, but we're here's my that. Aggressive no, hook. Our property's been vandalized.
Is that what you said in your video? Yes. You're aggressive.
Remember that's Lucas Faster Freedom.
Yeah. If you want to get yelled at.
At Lucas Faster Lucas Freedom. Faster very freedom. Intense learning. There's a lot of good information there, but it's very intense. All right, so we're gonna play over under. We're gonna put out some stats, and we're all gonna guess if it's over or under. I'll MC this. So, all right, so over under. Brett Favre has retired 5 times. Over or under? Lucas.
Under.
I'm gonna go over.
Under.
I'm gonna go under as well. What do you think in the chat box? And pop it up there. What over or under? It's gonna be. Answer is.
Three.
So
I was thinking of number of NFL teams he was on.
Oh, it's all good. Hey, Dusty, it's okay to get it wrong. Still Dusty was like researching.
Still under 5.
Yep. Still under. Yeah, it was under 5 teams.
But probably coincided with his retirement. What teams did he play for? Packers?
Jets?
Vikings? I think that's it.
That's it?
Yeah. I think that's it. Three again.
Yeah, very three. So, cool. So
retired from each team.
Each team, yep, exactly.
I quit.
All right, cool. So I got that one right. No big deal. All right, so men who have walked on the moon, 17, over or under. Seems like so many.
It feels high. You just never know. I'm going to say.
Some people would say zero. Just yeah. Well, going down
I'm
going to
go under. I'm going to go under as well.
Okay. I would say men who have moonwalked.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Over, under, 17. Men who have moonwalked in this room.
Over.
Under.
Moonwalkers. Yeah. I would say.
Is moonwalking in your socks
count? I'm going to say under.
Yeah, I think I think India just got on. I don't know. Yeah, not a lot of countries.
It's our moon.
Yeah, it's our moon. I'm going to go under as well. I just think 17 is an aggressive amount. We haven't been to the moon. I don't know how many times we've been.
Why haven't we been to the moon?
Because what's the point?
It's not a need. They didn't see it as a need.
It's a big rock.
I don't know.
What's the answer? 12. So under.
Under. Yeah. Yes, we're on. We're on fire.
242.
All right, this one's kind of messed up, but passengers on the Titanic.
It's not passengers.
There's really 2 pieces of this.
Died, right?
Correct. No, it's just passengers on the Titanic.
And there's people that survived.
Yes.
There are.
A good chunk.
Not just
passengers on the Titanic. Right. The number is 1178.
I'm going to say over.
You think there was over 1,100 people on the.
There. I'm going to say over.
Over.
Yeah.
That's more. Well, I'll wait.
What about you guys?
What do you say?
Under. Over. Sorry.
Well, I see the answer now. It's over.
The 1,100 is close to the amount of people who perished.
Over. I'm going to say over. Yep. We got it right. Perfect.
I think it's over.
Shout out Jack and Rose. Right about that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Leonardo didn't survive.
There was room for him on that door.
Yeah. Oh, there's other doors for him to get into.
It was a big-ass door. He did not have to stay in the water.
No, he didn't have to stay in the water.
Well, the only thing is if he got on a river, it might have gone under a little bit.
I mean, at least try.
Yeah. Or just go grab another door. There's a bunch of shit everywhere.
Man, imagine just seeing the person you love, like, frozen.
Frozen.
And just have to drop him in the ocean.
Sorry about you.
And just watch him sink.
Yeah.
That's not how I want to go.
They were in so much love.
They were.
If you were in so much love, he'd have been on that door.
Yeah.
Warming it up a little bit like they did in the car.
That's okay. Whatever it takes.
That's the Leon Dion song is a fire, though.
It is. That whole album is fire. What's the chorus of that song?
Know what I'm saying?
Banger.
Yeah. Banger.
Banger.
All right. The next one, Henry VIII's wives, 5, over or under?
I'm going to go over. Like, people nowadays have more than 5 wives, I feel like, at some
point.
And
he was a king. Exactly. So, Garons, he had more than that.
I'm going to go over.
Dustin? Over.
I'm going to go over.
I'm going to go over as well. What do we got?
6.
6. Ooh, look at this.
Jeez.
6.
Lofts are batting 100. This next one's pretty tricky, all right?
Yeah, we tried to go through.
U.S. presidents named James. There's 4 over or under. So there's Jimmy Carter. There's James Madison.
Yep.
James Madison.
James Monroe? No. Monroe? Grover?
There's Grover.
Grover? I don't know if it's Grover.
Monroe.
Monroe. James Monroe. That's 3. So is it
James Garfield? Garfield one?
That Garfield. So there's been like
Jimi Hendrix.
There's been like
Jimi Hendrix. Jimmy Johns.
Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy Johns.
So there is like I mean, there's been like, I think like upper 40s, 47, 48 presidents, something along those lines. So James.
Well, 45 was Trump, 46 is Biden.
So 46.
So, yeah, 46, so James, yeah. That was like one off. So that was so close enough.
That's 10%, right?
Yeah, that's a lot.
It is a lot.
I'm going over.
I'm going under.
I'm going over.
I'm going under. What's the answer?
Oh!
Six. Who the hell are they?
Did yeah, we name can them? We get them?
James Monroe, get them. James Madison.
They're all named James.
Monroe. Monroe, Madison, Carter. I don't know.
Let's see who they are.
Garfield.
I don't know. Look them up.
We can look them
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I would love to know this.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know when to screw up all our shit, though, so we'll look them up here in a minute. Let's get this next one done.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
All right, so.
George, John.
So there's
James Madison, James Monroe.
I was right on Monroe.
Yeah, we got it.
James Madison. The two of the first four were James.
James Monroe. Popular name.
James Monroe. I was right on that one,
James
too.
James Polk. You guys remember him?
Wouldn't have gotten him.
James Buchanan.
James Buchanan. Never heard of him.
Yeah.
I think that's all six. James Garfield. Yeah, we actually, I think we named five of them.
Was it James Garfield?
Yeah, why did I go under? We named five of them.
Yeah. Oh, we said Grover Cleveland. We were thinking... President Grover. Oh, yeah, there's a Grover president, but he's actually Grover Cleveland.
Gerald Niner. Ford. Man.
Was he related to a Ford, like the car, I would guess, somewhere, right?
Somewhere down the line.
Cousin or something. All right, cool.
Great aunt.
Great aunt. All right, let's get back to the next one. This next one's pretty fun. Jack Daniels. One fluid ounce of Jack Daniels is 105 calories. More than 105 calories or less than 105 calories for one fluid, which is
less.
A shot.
Or I would say less.
Is a shot an ounce and a half or an ounce?
Depends on who's pouring.
Yeah.
I would say less because the calories come from the soda or whatever you're going to put in it. So I'm thinking less.
I would think so. 105 is a lot of calories, but I don't know.
So that means like that is a lot. So that means like a can of it, which is 12 ounces, would be 1,200 calories.
That's straight Jack.
No. We're just going straight Jack Daniels.
What's a soda?
Probably
250. 250. Yeah, 250.
Yeah, there's not as much sugar than so I'm going to go under.
I'm going to go under as well.
I'm going to go under.
What do we got?
Yeah.
That's still a lot, though. Yeah. I feel like that's still a lot.
Yeah, 64. Limit your shot intake, Sam.
I don't do you do but shots. Lucas doesn't even order shots for me anymore. For a group of like 5, 6, 10, whatever, he orders one less than the group because he knows I will not take
or
it.
Or I'll get you a lemon drop.
Unless it's a lemon drop, then I'll take it.
Really? Why lemon drop?
Because I just... That's drink the only a shot I'll take.
Really?
I'm not going to drink it. I'm not going
to
jet tequila.
Dude, I used to smash
or freaking whiskey. I'm securing my manhood. I don't want to half throw up like just to drink something.
I would drink probably 100 lemon drops.
Lemon drop shot. Like a machine.
Like the Tasmanian devil broski.
Yeah. We were talking about leprechauns earlier, weren't we?
Menahunis.
Yeah, so what's the leprechaun called in Hawaii? Yeah.
Menahuni.
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 If we could get a picture of a Menahuni,
you could probably pull one
on Google.
Actually,
do you know how to spell that?
M-E-N-E-H-U-N-E.
Let's look up Menahunis and
we'll look up Menahunis. We're rolling into the deal of the week, so we'll look up Menahuni. I'll lay this out for you, Walls, and then you kind of take it because I honestly don't know a whole ton about this. So we had a property. So this is the deal of the week. We're doing deal of the weeks every Wednesday now. Good, bad, ugly, all the things. And this one is not the best situation, but we'll talk about what we did with it. So we had a property that we looked to buy and rehab, right? And
yep. Buy and rehab and rent.
And it was looking good.
It looking great. Yeah, we got this property awesome. From our local real estate meetup.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how we bought this.
Okay.
Somebody shopped it at the real estate meetup, and we went the next day and bought it. And we did this deal the week a couple of weeks ago, or 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we were getting close to the finish line. It's like, oh, it's the perfect BRRRS deal nowadays. You know, not crazy cash flow, but about $1,000 a year, give or take, which is kind of where you're at in today's market. So we were so excited about adding this to our portfolio, but that did not happen.
What happened? Do your hook.
This property's been vandalized.
There you go.
And so it has been vandalized. So we got it cleaned, and I was on the phone with the banker, and we were scheduling the appraisal, and trying to figure out what day for him to go out there. And I think that was Friday, and then we come back in Monday and do a check on the property, and found out that I think we left one of the windows open is how they got in, and opened the window, and some people came in here and just had a heyday, ripped the cabinets off the wall, dumped. We had like leftover paint
pizza
buckets,
pizza.
Yeah, they had leftover paint buckets they threw like all over the carpet, just pretty much destroyed everything.
They pulled the stove out. What is that? Is that
they flipped it over? No, that's refrigerator. Flipped it over.
Flipped it over. Pulled the cabinets.
cabinets off the wall, broke those doors of our new cabinets.
They cut other doors in half.
Cut doors in half, punch holes through wall. Check out that next picture real quick. This ripped off the blinds. Half. Yeah, look at that.
Just a bunch of punk-ass kids.
They were some bunch of punk-ass kids, for sure. And you can see the paint on the floor there, too, on the brand-new carpet. Oh, so that was a bummer.
I feel like that's something you would have done when you were younger.
No, I was never, like, that
destructive.
Bad. Yeah, I wouldn't destroy things on purpose. I would, you know, maybe blow some shit up, set some shit on fire.
Right.
But not a house.
Okay.
The worst thing I did was throw a rock at a car. That was a big rock and a big dent. I got in a lot of trouble.
A lot of trouble.
It's like the movie The Good Son when he throws the rock over the bridge.
Deep.
So Lucas, yeah, no movie about that.
So bummer, right? But one of the things that we noticed while they were in there, they got hungry from all the hard work that they were doing.
Look at them.
So they decided to order pizza.
Yeah, let's go.
Not necessarily pizza. Well, some pizza, and so it looks like some garlic bread, some baked muscacholi,
bacon on there,
Diet Coke,
Coke Zero.
Dude, they're
going
carb
the no
out.
Calorie route. You know. Definitely conscious.
So zero calories in that. We got that one right.
We got that one. What about a large Emo's cheese pizza? How many calories in that?
Over 1,000.
Oh.
No. 1,600?
Over a couple thousand.
Yeah, maybe over 2,000. And a Diet Coke.
Yeah.
So, they were thirsty, but they left this. Did they leave their credit card as well?
Their information is here.
Oh, their information is on the receipt for their credit card.
And their address.
And their address. So we knew what house they were in. So we got Dusty to help us out with some connections that he has in the local law enforcement, and they went over there. And what did they do?
Went over there that day, took a report. The next morning, the local detective unit we were in contact with, they placed some cameras in the yard early in the morning before daylight and caught, I think by lunch, we had three people in custody, or they had three people
in
custody.
Why'd they go back?
Because it's a path for them to get to and from school.
Mm. But
so they were crossing through in the morning. Figured they'd stop by.
Oh, see what their damage looked like.
Yep. So it had three of them in custody by lunch.
Yeah, and probably nothing super bad happened to them. Just young and dumb. Right?
What would your parents do if they found out that you did?
I mean, how much? Yeah. I mean, it was
$15,000 damage.
$20,000. That's your car damage that you dropped the thing on the car probably cost $1,500. This is freaking $15,000.
Yeah, they'll be in some hot water. There'll be paperwork coming in the mail from the court processes and things. They're in some hot water
for sure. But they'll never go back. Is the good news. Bad news is, you know, we bought this for $100, put in about $17,000. It was in pretty good shape. They pretty much destroyed everything that we did, and we got to spend at least about another $17,000 again. So.
Now, would you make an insurance claim on that, or just be like?
That's a great question. So our insurance deductibles like. $5,000, so we'd probably net out, I don't know, 10 after some weird stuff, and then definitely get hit with some penalties on all of our other stuff. So we just made a fire claim, so probably keep this one off. But I could see you making a case to make this claim if it's like your first house. And
and what type of insurance policy would you need to have on this? You guys know?
We had a vacancy.
It's a builder's. It's a builder's risk policy in the beginning. Is what that would be generically.
Yeah, for sure. We have a. Yeah, we go directly to our rental company, which does our rentals, and we have another company does our flips. But our rentals has a vacant policy in there for when it's in between tenants or when it's getting rehabbed and a tenant hasn't been placed yet.
But you also have to notify your if they go vacant. You got to notify them within 30 days of it being vacant or you're null and void.
We have a monthly cadence where we tell them what's vacant
for
sure. So
yeah, which I picked up on. Yeah, I picked that up online too. OPK, man.
So we're able to be at, we were going to be able to be out of this deal with no money out of pocket, you know, about $120,000 note, rent this thing for $15,000, $15,50, something like that. And it's worth about $160,000, $165,000.
It was like an old school
bird.
It was
an old school bird.
Old school bird, just cash flow wasn't quite there. Like it used to be, I talked about this last time, but you know, 5 years ago, 6, 7 years ago, this deal cash flow is $280
probably
a month.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and this one was like 85.
And we're talking like net. Somebody else is doing themselves and doing the things could still do it.
But those deals are just squeezed nowadays. Mm-hmm. But we'll still take it at 85 to 100 bucks a month. We're still adding. They're just fewer and far.
But you're an idiot for doing that, Ken says.
Yeah. I am an idiot. Yeah. I shouldn't take the depreciation on cash flow I don't have.
Right. Yes. Shouldn't do that. And you shouldn't worry about the property goes up in value. Don't worry about that.
So if we wanted to keep this at a rental, we'd be, you know, 17 grand out of pocket. And still, that's a good place for 17 grand in a rental. But that's just not our model right now. And we could probably use that 17 grand to go buy a turnkey and not even rehab it. Mm-hmm. So instead of doing that, we're going to spend the 17 grand. So we're going to be into it for more like 135 now and just list it for 165 and hopefully net 15 grand and move on. So that's the control and flexibility that real estate is able, that real estate provides.
Yeah, having that exit strategy.
Multiple.
That's the cool
thing
about
real estate. Putting out a nice product to give you multiple exits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing with a lot of other investments. Something goes wrong, you're shit out of luck. Yeah. With real
estate, this one gives you the ability to pivot.
For sure. Pivot control. I like it. All right. Motivational Wednesday. Lucas, why don't we have Kayla read the quote?
Is this the Queen Bee? Did she say this?
Queen Bee, Lemonade. She's a cowgirl now. Right?
Well, she's always been. She's from Houston.
Yeah, but didn't
she? This ain't Texas.
She's got a whole album now, I think, right?
Yeah, she's got some country roots for sure.
Yeah. Don't try to lessen yourself for the world. Let the world catch up to you. Beyonce.
Love Beyonce.
So what do y'all think about that quote?
I have to agree with her.
Give me your take on that, Dustin Lee.
Don't take a step back in what you're capable of doing just so you fit in with everybody else. Keep excelling, move forward. Grow, learn, absorb, keep moving.
Yeah, to me this like rings to just be your true authentic self. And don't lessen yourself in any sort of situation, just be who you are. And if people don't accept you for that, then you're probably in the wrong group.
Yeah.
That's what I got from that. I know it's not exactly what it says, but.
Oh, boy, am I real glad y'all accept me.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
It's all about leveling up.
Yeah.
You know, just keep around people that have more knowledge than you and you can learn from and be quiet and listen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. I think of, like, when I see this quote, I think of, like, this sports. Like, there's a lot of teams that, like, play down to the level of their competition. A vast superior team can barely beat a team that's not as good because they play down their level of competition, and then they can be a team that's way better. So it's tough. It's natural to kind of, whether it's your friend group, whether it's your business group, whether it's a sport team you're playing, it's tough to, like, not, like, regress back to the mean or below that, and that's what I see from it. That's why I like these. Everybody reads quotes to get something else out of them, but we're all talking about the same thing, just different ways to perceive it.
Yeah, it's crazy. A little quote can mean so many different things to so many people.
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Kiki, Dusty, you guys were great guests. You were basically the guinea pigs for Jameel and Pace on Friday. So
do we find the picture of the Menahuni? I'd like to show that.
We'll pull up the Menahuni while Luke's not getting ready to shoot.
Yes. Well, you want to talk about Jameel and Pace?
Oh, yes. We get Menahuni. That's just
it's a little guy right there.
So there, it's a myth. Looks like it's a mythical. It's creature. A mythical.
Leprechauns aren't real, Lucas.
Are they? Hey,
they look like they have a whistle on their head. Yeah. Is that the thing? Doesn't look like a whistle on his head?
Oh, that's a. Well,
where?
Oh, that. That's his helmet.
Doesn't look like a whistle.
It's a helmet.
It looks like something. Oh, I thought it was Sam. I don't know if it's a whistle.
It's a Polynesian.
Nope, that looks like a hurricane whistle. Yeah. I'm with him.
It's a hurricane whistle.
That one does for sure.
Yeah, that's the one that does. That up there looks like a stocking cap with a tube.
Dude, look at that little guy surfing up there.
Got it.
Yeah.
Look at those guys.
Yeah.
All right, so Pace Borby, sub 2, Jameel Damji with Astro Blaster, which is an interesting name. But anyways, Astro Blaster, they're going to be in town on Friday. So if you're in St. Louis in the area, 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock at our office, we have a meetup, but they're going to be on the podcast Friday as well. So make sure to check out the episode on Friday. I don't know if we're going to go live yet or not. Probably we'll see, but either way, they'll be on the next episode. That'll be fun. Bunch of guys who do really well in the space that are legit dudes. There's a lot of fake gurus and a lot of people that are pretenders out there. I would say I think Pace told me he thinks there's like 7 or 8 like people in the space that are legitimate, that teach it, that charge the right amount, that actually take care to grow, and they're definitely one of them, and we are too. So that's going to be fun to jam with them. If you're in or around St. Louis area, it's probably worth a little bit of a drive to come hang out with all of us, Pace and Jameel, for 3 hours on Friday for free. We're seeing if we can provide cash bar and food for you to pay for, but we're going to say if we can feed you where you're here too.
Ready to shoot? What are we tied 6-6?
Who's going to be the announcer? One of you two.
Yeah. What do we got going on?
Up to the line, we've got Lucas Walls.
Lucas.
Lucash Walls.
All right, guys. Here we go.
It's been a while.
Oh, I thought
Buck.
Drains
it. Buck.
I always get so nervous.
Bucket. Sam Prim, up to the line.
Don't choke.
It's not choking, it's just sucking.
I'm up.
Choked. It's all that vortex of wind in here.
I'm working on it.
Lucas is up.
All right, guys. See you on the next one.
Thanks for watching.
See you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. We hope you got some major value from our conversation. If you love what you learn, make sure you like, rate, review the show, and help us spread the word by telling a friend.
If you'd like to learn more about working with me inside one of my programs, we'll have those links in the show notes, along with all our social media handles, so you connect with us there for free. If there's a real estate question you'd like us to answer, feel free to send us a message, and we'll cover it in an upcoming show.